since April of 1985. This is the DX Audio Service.
National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for June 2011. This is issue number 315. If you'd like to write to us, the new address for the DX Audio Service is Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. Email address for general inquiries is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. My email address is dxas@nrcdxas.org. Please change your address book to reflect those changes. A yearly cassette subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent by a first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our web server at www.nrcdxas.org, and you can sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Or if you're on the internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system. But subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without any assistance. Well, without my assistance, we're going to switch it over to Mr. Dave Alpert. And he's got our AM switch for us for the month of June. Here's Dave.
This is the AM switch.
Hi, Dave Alpert with the May 2011 edition of the AM switch on the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We've got a small AM switch, number 7826, so let's get to it with call letter changes. 820 KORC, Waldport, Oregon. They've switched their calls to KWDP. 1190 in Leesburg, Virginia has changed their calls to WCRW. 1260, a call sign that's been in SoCal for a long time, KGIL, licensed to Beverly Hills, becomes KMZT. 1490, WSYA in Anniston, Alabama, becomes WGBZ. And finally, 1590, the new station in Big Rapids, Michigan, starts life as WODJ. Construction permits on the air, 830 WQZQ in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, is back on the air, moving to the community of Goodlettsville. You might remember the station was on 1550 in Clarksville, but it's moved here with D1, 2,000 watts, daytime only, located at the tower of 1430 WPLN in Madison, Tennessee. 890 KTXV, Mabank, Texas, was licensed for U4, 20,000 watts daytime, 250 watts at night. KTXV petitioned to delete their nighttime operation as their signal did not reach their intended audience in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. KTXV programs in the Vietnamese language. This operation is now licensed, making them D3, 20,000 watts, daytime only. 990 WISK in Lawrenceville, Georgia. They used to be on 1390 from Americus, Georgia. This is D1, 1,000 watts, daytime only. 1190 WCRW Leesburg, Virginia, on the air after their move from 1200 kilohertz. WCRW is sporting U4, 50,000 watts day, and 1,300 watts at night. This is now a two-site operation. The three-tower daytime site sends a large circular lobe to the southeast. The nighttime operation is at the former 1,200 site where they built two additional towers, making a total of four. That array sends an elongated main lobe to the southeast with smaller lobes to the southwest, northwest, and northeast. 1310 KTCK, Dallas, Texas. The ticket is now on the air with U4, 25,000 watts day, 5,000 watts night. By the way, this was the old WRR in Dallas. And while we're down in the Metroplex, let's say hi and hook 'em to good friend of the DX Audio Service, Wally Waro at WFAA Channel 8. 1450 WMJQ in Milford, Pennsylvania is a new station just now coming on the air with U1, 1,000 watts, day and night. FCC Actions, 790 WAXY, South Miami, Florida, the old WFUN in their rock days, making an unusual request which may help out DXers. In November 2009, Waxy petitioned the FCC by way of special temporary authorization to increase power to become U4 25,000 watts day and night in order to, and this is a quote from their application, overcome interference created by a co-channel station located in Cuba. That was granted. Now the STA has been extended. Co-channel, by the way, means a station on the same frequency. 910, KKSN, Vancouver, Washington, had their CP granted for U4, 3,300 watts day, 4,300 watts at night, negating their previous CP for U4, 2,600 watts day and 4,300 night. 960, WDNO, Quebradillas, Puerto Rico, received a grant of their construction permit for U4, 390 watts day, 500 watts night. 1100, WISS, Berlin, Wisconsin, has had their CP granted for D4, 50,000 watts day, none at night, with critical hours power of 20,000 watts. They are doing this by adding one new tower, and the new patterns will be kidney-shaped, headed toward the northwest, no doubt protecting WTAM in Cleveland, Ohio. 1190, WAFS, Atlanta, Georgia, received a grant of their CPD1, 25 kilowatts daytime, no night operation, deleting their current authorization for critical hours power of 2,300 watts. 1280, KPRV, Poto, Oklahoma, is now on the air with U1, 1 kilowatt day, 108 watts night from a new tower. They replaced their old one with a shunt-fed unipole antenna. 1340, KTFI, Wendell, Idaho, received a grant of their CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and night. But don't get too excited, the station is not yet on the air. 1490, WSIP, Paintsville, Kentucky. Their CP was granted to relocate their transmitter to the WKYH 1490 site. The move was required due to pending road construction by the state of Kentucky. WSIP remains U1, 1,000 watts, day and night, on this graveyard channel. Now let's move on to construction permit amendments. 780, KCEG. In Fountain, Colorado, is a new station not yet on the air, and it has a CP for U4 operation with 1,900 watts day and 720 watts night. But hold on, this amendment requests U4 1,900 watts day, 720 watts night, moving to Pueblo. That's a distance of 23 miles to the south-southwest. The new station on 1030 at Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama, is not yet on the air, but has a CP for U4, 35,000 watts day, 1 kilowatt night. The amendment requests U1, 5,000 watts days, 11 watts night, critical hours power of 5,000 watts. 1340 KTFI, Wendell, Idaho, not yet on the air, with a CP for U1, 250 watts day and night. The new amendment requests U1, 1,000 watts day and night. And 1520 WDCY in Douglasville, Georgia, is licensed for D4, 2,500 watts day, 800 watts critical hours, no night authorization. WDCY was granted a CP for D3, 50,000 watts daytime only. They've now requested the CP be rescinded, as they applied for D4. 50,000 watts day, critical hours power of 50 kilowatts, and no night operation, but with slightly different daytime parameters and adding the critical hours operation. Now let's look at applications. 1140 KYOK in Conroe, Texas, applies to move to Katy, Texas, with D4, 700 watts during the day and critical hours, no nighttime operation. 1520 WSVX, Shelbyville, Indiana, has been operated under a special temporary authorization with U1, 250 watts day and 62.5 watts night since February, when an ice storm felled one of their three towers. WSVX has now applied for U1, 260 watts day, 4 watts night, and a critical hours power of 260 watts on a permanent basis. Moving on to application amendments. Just one this edition, 860 WDMG, Douglas, Georgia, licensed for U2, 5,000 watts day and night. WDMG applied for U1, 5,000 watts day, 39 watts night. This newest amendment requests U1, 5,000 watts day, and 30 watts at night. License renewals granted. Experimental station WI2XAC in Ponce, Puerto Rico. For you hams out there, that's Whiskey India 2, X-Ray Alpha Charlie. Applications for reconsideration. 1350 WLMA, Greenwood, South Carolina, had second thoughts and has applied for license reinstatement and a facility change to U1, 1,000 watts day and 94 watts night. Now, let's look at dismissals and deletions. The station on 720 in Leon, American Samoa, WVUV, has their license canceled and call sign deleted. For those of you that have the AM radio log, American Samoa is not listed in the AM log because of its distance from the mainland. 860 WAMI, OP, Alabama, had an application to move to, get this, Kanab, Utah. This application has been dismissed. WAMI remains U1 with 1 kilowatt day and 47 watts night. That would have been a 1,510-mile move across the Midwest. 1240 WMFG, Hibbing, Minnesota. Their application for U1, 490 watts day and night, has been canceled per the applicant's request. WMFG remains U1, 1,000 watts day and night. 1310 WCCW in Traverse City, Michigan, asked for a CP for U4, 50,000 watts day and 7,500 watts night. WCCW remains U4, 15,000 watts day, 7,500 watts night. 1320 KSDT in Hemet, California, requested in their application U4, 250 watts day, 410 at night, moving to the community of Loma Linda. However, KSDT will remain U4, 500 watts day, 300 watts night. 1400 WGHC in Clayton, Georgia. Their application was for D1, 2800 watts a day and no night authorization, and 2800 watts critical hours, moving to 830. The FCC dismissed this application, so WGHC remains U1, 1000 watts day and night on 1400. 1460 KBRZ, Missouri City, Texas, had an application for U5, 10,000 watts day and 125 watts night. The FCC has dismissed this application, and KBRZ remains U1, 5,000 watts day, 125 watts night. 1570 WONA, Winona, Minnesota, has thrown in the towel, so scratch it off your list. License canceled, call deleted. Maybe Mark Durenberger will start a new station in Edina. What do you think? 1600 KLEB, Golden Meadow, Louisiana, asked for a construction permit for U4, 7,500 watts daytime, 250 watts at night. This application was dismissed, so KLEB remains U4, 5,000 watts day, 250 watts night. AM on FM, more stations making the move. 610 WIOD, Miami, Florida, is now heard on W262AN, 100.3 in Tamarack. 610 WVBE, Roanoke, Virginia, on W249AG, 97.7, Roanoke. 690 KBLI, Blackfoot, Idaho, is on K237FA, 95.3 in Pocatello. 740 WNOP, Newport, Indiana, is on WNOP-FM, 89.5 in Versailles. 860 WSON, Hendersonville, Kentucky, is heard on W243CU, 96.5, Madisonville. 930 WBEN, Buffalo, New York, on full power station WLKK, 107.7, Weathersfield Township. 970 KBUL, Billings, Montana, is on KCHH, 95.5 in Worden. 1300 KCMY, Carson City, Nevada, on K273AF, 102.5 Carson City. 1320 WLOH, Lancaster, Ohio, uses W257EQ, 99.3 in Logan. 1430 KAOL, Carrollton, Missouri, is on K267BN, 101.3 in Bosworth. 1430 KBRC, Mount Vernon, Washington, is on K271AH on 107.1. 1440 WCDL, Carbondale, Illinois, is using translator W294BJ, 106.7 in Waymart. And 1490 WSGB, Sutton, West Virginia, is on W243CA 96.5 in Sutton. And finally, 1590 WPSN, Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Now heard on W270CC 101.9 in Hamlin. Some news and notes from here and there. Returning to the airwaves, we have KZMX 580, Hot Springs, South Dakota, back on the air with Country, reported as silent. WQDR 570 and WCLY 1550, both in Raleigh, North Carolina, silent after a tornado took down their common tower. Also off the air are WSJC 810, McGee, Mississippi, WLSB 1400, Copper Hill, Tennessee, and once again WVZN 1580, Columbia, Pennsylvania. WVZN has been sold, so once it returns, it may be for good. From the Charlie Sheen not winning department, we have some fines, but it looks like the FCC is not going to collect. A fine of $7,000 rendered for late filing of license renewal. Then it was canceled for the former owners of KQLO 1590 Sun Valley, California, when it was shown that prior to being sold, they filed for a silent STA. But then the FCC fined the new owners $4,000 for engaging in the unauthorized transfer of control of the station. Uh-oh, too itchy on the trigger finger. Over the past few months, we've received a number of inquiries from members concerning WWKB 1520 in Buffalo, New York. Seems some sort of announcement was made concerning a power change. After no mention of that action was reported in the AM Switch column, the DX Audio Service, or DX News for that matter, the inquiries began to arrive. Here's the bottom line. We've contacted WWKB engineering personnel via email and telephone and have been assured they have no plans to change their power output of 50 kilowatts or change their directional pattern. In fact, they say no such plans have ever been discussed. Hope that puts this discussion to bed. Thanks to Wayne Heinen, Steve Kennedy, Jefferson E. Lewis, Tim Noonan, and Dave Schmidt this month for their tips and tidbits on this column. I'm Dave Alpert, behind the mic in the DX Audio Service Los Angeles studios. Time now to head east to Hennepin County. Don't know where that is? It happens to be a home of one of the most traveled editors of our magazine. From Edina, Minnesota, here's Mark with the band scan. National
Radio Club. Thank you, David. Today we take our traveling database to Atlanta, Georgia, to see what the state of the stations might be in that major metropolitan area. There are 28 AM stations within 25 miles of downtown Atlanta. Only a few have interesting histories, but we can follow most of Atlanta's call sign changes, reporting some of their startups and current formats. And we begin today at 590 with WDWD, today's Disney outlet. The station first began pouring amps into the antenna during the height of the Roaring Twenties. As WKBL, it lit up on 1430 with 250 watts in 1927, licensed to Tucora, Georgia, changed call to WTFI, did the channel hopping for a while, and then moved to Athens on 1450 in 1931. 5 years later, WTFI was in Atlanta as WAGA. NARBA 1941 put them on 1480, but they immediately filed for 590, 5 kilowatts DA night. Waiting in the wings was WRDW Augusta, ready to move to 1480 as soon as WAGA had vacated. The smoke cleared in 1942, but the 590 operation was challenged by station CMCY in Havana, Cuba, and WAGA filed a summary of Skywave recordings to prove they were operating as authorized. In 1959, the station became WPLO, doing top 40. Then country music for another 30 years. And finally, Radio Disney with the new call sign WDWD. And that's what the mighty 590 is doing today. 12 kilowatts day, 4.5 at night. What a great signal. In September 2009, the station was forced off air for a week when it was submerged by nearby Noses Creek, which reached double its flood stage during the historic and record-breaking 2009 Atlanta floods. The station was shut down just prior to the flood, so that once the equipment was completely disassembled and thoroughly cleaned and dried, nearly all of it was able to be brought back to the air. And WAGA? Well, that call went back to 1480, and they are now WYZE, doing gospel music. 610 is now WPLO, formerly on 590. Spanish, 1,500 watts day, 225 at night, both non-directional. 610 was WLAW. That was a call once heard in Boston. 610 became WGNN in 1987, thus until 2009 when it gained its current call. At last report, WPLO was the only station in the area still operating analog AM stereo, the unfortunate Sequam system. WGST's original broadcast license for 710 was issued by the Federal Radio Commission in 1922 with the call sign WGM. Though the station's origin actually predates the 1922 date, they were on the air with the experimental radio call of 4FT. WGST got its first license just 2 days after WSB. The station didn't do well and actually shut down in July of 1923, and the WGM call was allowed to expire. WGM's owner gave the station to the Georgia School of Technology, and the school moved quickly to reinstate the authorization. The license came back in January 1924 as WBBF. The FCC records show that a request for a move to 1110 was granted in 1927. The station authorized 500 watts and required to timeshare with WMAZ Macon. At about the time WBBF moved to 1110, its call changed to WGST for the Georgia School of Technology, now, of course, the Institute. A couple of years later, WGST appeared on 890 with 500 watts. WMAZ Macon was also assigned to 890. Well, that wouldn't work, so WMAZ quickly applied for 1180, and WGST was authorized daytime operation on 890. And in the mid-30s, they were allowed full-time 5 kilowatts. NARBA moved WGST to 920, but there were storm clouds in the sky. Because the station was losing money, Georgia Tech had leased WGST to Southern Broadcasting Stations, Inc. in 1930. But in the 1940s, the brouhaha about network duopoly ownership resulted in NBC having to sell off the Blue Network to ABC. Some of the attendant scrutiny led the FCC to order WGST to cancel its lease arrangement with Southern Broadcasting. In 1940, its license renewal was issued as a temporary license, and a 1945 order denied its 1945 license renewal until and unless, and we quote, licensee shall affirmatively show that no further effect is given to the arrangements between the present licensee and Southern Broadcasting. As a result, Georgia Tech was back in the radio business and remained there until it declared WGST surplus property and sold it to Meredith Broadcasting in 1974. WGST was the first station to play rock and roll in Atlanta in the 1950s. In 1989, the owners of WGST, JCOR Communications, saw the opportunity to purchase station WPBD, newly on the air on 640. WGST was moved to 640 in 1989, and the station could operate with 50 kilowatts daytime with 1,000 watts at night. And one other note from the early days of WGST, they had the distinction of being one of the few stations in the United States heard by Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd at the South Pole on his first expedition in 1929. 680 is an interesting, if cluttered, channel. In the west, it's wide open to KNBR Oakland, but in the east, oh my. Once pretty much the province of Raleigh, there are now almost two dozen stations south and east of the Ohio River. But notwithstanding WPTP Raleigh's 50-kilowatt authorization, Atlanta's WCNN 680 is also 50 kilowatts day, 10 at night, just 350 miles from Raleigh. 680 began as WRNG, Atlanta's first talk radio station. The last three letters of the call sign represented the station's branding as Ring Radio. In 1982, the station began an experiment by broadcasting the audio feed of CNN Headline News. The call letters were changed to WCNN. While no longer on WCNN, the Headline News audio feed continues today, as we know, on many radio stations as a satellite-delivered service of Westwood One. WCNN 680 in Atlanta is now sports. Which takes us to the Voice of the South on 750. From the WPA Guide on Atlanta's Radio History, and we quote, It is estimated that early in 1922, there were about 1,000 homemade radio receivers in Atlanta and its vicinity. At that time, however, there were no broadcasting stations in the South, and radio fans of the region had to content themselves with the reception of alternate whisperings and squawks, which indicated that the broadcasts of some of the up-east seaboard stations had wandered within range of their makeshift tube and crystal sets. Then, on the evening of March 15, 1922, these hopeful listeners were thrilled to hear the by no means overpowering strains of a jazz band rendition of the Light Cavalry Overture coming through their earphones and loudspeakers. This surprise broadcast was the initial program of the Atlanta Journal's radio station, a station just authorized by a telegram received that same afternoon from the acting Secretary of Commerce, and operating under the call letters formerly assigned to a ship's wireless in the Pacific Ocean, WSB. WSB was authorized to operate at both 360 and 485 meters so that they could broadcast both news, weather, and entertainment. The power at the 1922 on-air date was 200 watts, from the usual flat-top antenna of the day. WSB experimented with 1,000 watts. They were then authorized 400 meters as well as 485 meters to be operated at 500 watts. All this in 1922. And to reorient us for a moment, 360 meters was about 833 kilocycles, 400 meters was close to 750, and 485 meters was about 619 kilocycles. Well, even before entering the field of broadcasting, the Atlanta Journal had published many articles instructing amateurs how to build receiving sets. A sound truck equipped with receiving apparatus cruised the city, and loudspeakers were set up in Piedmont and Grant Parks, explaining the new wireless technology. With the inauguration of its own station, the Journal immediately began a series of important innovations. WSB was the first station in America to adopt the slogan, "The Voice of the South," and in its early career, it originated a mechanical effect for station identification, the famed chimes intoning the first three notes of "Over There," a musical signature later adopted under some controversy by the National Broadcasting Company. The fact that all of these firsts were originated before its initial year of broadcasting was completed is indicative of the progressive spirit of the station's general manager, Lambdin Kay, known as the Little Colonel throughout the world of radio. The Little Colonel must have been a giant. In 1923, WSB found itself on 700 kilocycles at 500 watts and moved up to a kilowatt. In those days and at that frequency, coverage could easily be nationwide. Night programs were not given in those early days, but WSB took advantage by introducing a 10:45 p.m. transcontinental broadcast. Now we're in the mid-20s, and while everyone else was doing the channel dance, WSB only moved once to 6:30 before settling on 7:40, where they'd remain until Narva placed them at 7:50. Once they were on 7:40, they received 50 kilowatt authorization and quickly built out their facilities in Tucker, Georgia. And the rest, as they say, is radio history. And so on to Quixy, WQXI, another famous call in Atlanta's radio history. One of the newer stations in Atlanta. It's only been on the air 63 years. WQXI first went on in 1948 as an all-music station, playing pop standards. By the 1960s, Quixy was top 40 with the moniker Quixy and Dixie. WQXI was the inspiration for the television sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati. Series creator Hugh Wilson dealt with the station when he worked in advertising. Some of WKRP's episodes, which included dropping turkeys from a helicopter and the Dancing Ducks promotion, were actually done by Jerry Bloom at WQXI. Today on 790, Quixy is a sports talker with 20 kilowatts day, 1,000 watts night, DAN. WGKA 920 and WAFS 1190 arrived at their current dial spots by a bit of machination. WGKA had been on 1190, and WGST had been on 920, as we know. We also just noted that WGST moved from 920 to 640 in 1989, and the new call on 920 was WAFS. Okay, so far? In 2004, Salem Communications swapped the 920 and 1190 call signs And now we heard WGKA on 920 with WAFS on 1190. WGKA now runs a talk format on 920, 14 kilowatts day, 500 night non-directional. WAFS, Spanish on 1190, is a 25 kilowatt day timer with 2300 watts critical hours and a few hundred watts pre and post sunset. I told you this would be hard work. And thus to WGUN on 1010. Non-directional 50 kilowatts day, but only 78 watts at night. WGUN began life in 1947 as WEAS, originally licensed to Decatur, Georgia. Incidentally, the call letters WEAS first appeared in Washington, D.C. in 1922. Well, when 1010 Atlanta changed calls to WGUN, the WEAS call went to Savannah. For a long while, WGUN sold airtime to God. They're currently listed with a variety format. WPBS, what great call letters, but no affiliation. They're an extended daytimer on 1040 non-directional, 50 kilowatts day, 5,500 watts critical hours. They began operation in 1979 on 1050 as WCGA, changed calls to WTPO in 1986, to WPBE a few years later when they moved to 1040, and then somehow ended up with the call sign WPBS. There they are today, broadcasting Asian programming from nearby Conyers, Georgia, going off at night, of course, to protect WHO. Now to Marietta, Georgia, and 1080's WFTD, yet another relative newcomer. It began life as WBIE, and also operating on 1050 kilohertz, 500 watts day, non-directional, until they moved to 1080 in 1965. There they were first given 10 kilowatts. WBIE gained a reputation as a dependable news operation. The stations had the call signs WCOB back in 1978, WEKS in 85, WJYA in 87. WFTD's current call sign has remained with the station since. In 2008, WFTD was the victim of a Molotov cocktail bomb when a former employee who had been fired 2 months earlier walked into the station's studios and left a bomb there. As a result, a small fire was sparked, but quickly extinguished, and the man who threw the cocktail suffered severe burns. By mid-2009, the station was Atlanta Radio Korea, simulcasting with WPBS. The Korean language programming of Atlanta Radio Korea was then heard exclusively on WPBS and dropped from WFTD. WFTD then started carrying Spanish language music and talk programming under the Radio Lale 1080 AM branding. They are now back to Asian, and perhaps an Atlanta area DXer can tell us if they're simulcasting with WPBS. WFTD is at 50 kilowatts daytime, 30 kilowatts critical hours before they have to shut down to protect WTIC and KRLD. The famous 3WE call is now heard in Atlanta on 1100. WLBB Carrollton, Georgia moved to 1330 kilohertz. And the 1100 kilohertz signal was moved to Hapeville, Georgia, in the middle of the Atlanta market. And the call sign was changed to WWWE in 1996. By the way, there's a fascinating story about WLBB Carrollton and its impact on local music. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to share that. At any rate, 3WE now operates Spanish programming in Atlanta, 5,000 watts day, 3,800 watts critical hours, before signing off to protect the station in Cleveland that once held those famous call letters. And that takes us to WCFO on 1160, yet another newcomer based on the FCC's breakup of the clears, 50 kilowatts day with a four-tower antenna, 160 watts at night non-directional. Its previous call was WMLB. That call sign was moved to the X-band 1690 in 2006. And now another one of those twists. 1160 coexisted regionally with 1170. WMLB was on 1170, 5 kilowatts from Cumming, Georgia. WKJE was 10 kilowatts on 1160. They were marketed together as the twins, Classic 1160 and Classic 1170. But now WKGE planned to increase its 10,000-watt signal on 1160 to 50 kilowatts. That meant 1170 had to go silent. And the call WMLB went to 1160 in Atlanta. That then became WCFO, where they are today with a news talk format. I expect you're going to have to hit rewind a few times to get all these changes. The rest of the stations serving downtown Atlanta have little or no remarkable history. From nearby Marietta, Georgia, we find WFOM on 1230. Nothing exciting about this graveyarder, except that they did create a musical heritage many years ago, in spite of their poor signal in Atlanta. Not much to report about WTJH 1260 and WIFN 1340 either. Ditto for WAOK 1380. Though there was some simulcast activity among WCNN, WIFN, and WFOM. WATB on 1420 is now upgraded to 50 kilowatts day, 174 watts night, DA2. On 1500, we find WDPC with 5,000 watts day, 3,200 watts critical hours, DA2, and, of course, shutting off at night to protect Washington on 1500. Partial coverage of Atlanta from this station. WDPC initially signed on in September 1979 as WKRP. At first, the FCC denied the call letters to the new station, stating that MTM Enterprises, the producer of the popular CBS series WKRP in Cincinnati, had a hold on the call sign. Well, the station's lawyer pointed out to the FCC, MTM is neither a licensee nor a permittee. Therefore, MTM has no legal basis to reserve the WKRP call sign. The FCC relented. In August 1989, the station switched from WKRP to its current calls, WDPC, meaning Dallas, Paulding County. And that, dear listeners, is our snapshot of the Atlanta radio market. We skipped a couple of stations, notably those with only partial coverage of the market. So many of these stations are relatively new, dropped in on former clears, and with 50 kilowatts day but little or no power at night, you have to wonder how they can make it. And a couple of channels appear to be silent. But that's what it is. And in our future reports, we'll probably find other major metropolitan areas to be in a similar situation. Once again, a reminder and a request. Producing these reports is both a labor of love and a terrific amount of work, so we're asking for feedback as to whether we should continue. Drop a voice comment on the Musings line or email me at mark4@dernberger.com. Mark with the number 4. Dernberger is spelled D-U-R-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. A thoroughly winded Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you in 30 days. And until then, good listening, DXers.
National Radio Club.
Thanks, Mark. And I have to call you out in front of the membership for something you recently did. Mark sent me some emails with pictures attached to them of some of his DX locations. And let me tell you, it's fantastic. Some of these places are out in state parks or in the desert out west, and there are no power lines, no local radio or TV stations, or no neighbors with their buzzy TVs to cause interference. So what you're hearing on his recordings is nothing but pure radio RF. So, Mark, thank you very much for all your hard work that you've put on the DX Audio Service and for the recordings that you've made. Members, be sure to write a card or a letter, maybe even an email, and just thank Mark for all his hard work that he's done. And, Mark, this is a personal message to you. One of these days, I think you're going to shame me into getting that Pursuit radio. Just one of these days. Now let's do some news and notes, starting out with a memo from the National Radio Club headquarters, the compound, the Citadel, actually just Wayne Heinen's house out in Aurora, Colorado. He writes, "It's been suggested that a survey of the membership of the National Radio Club be undertaken to determine what changes to DX News, the DX Audio Service, and the club in general might be desired by the membership. The board and the publishers will be compiling questions and making suggestions to be issued within the survey and will, of course, entertain any additional suggestions and comments from the membership. The board is looking to have this survey ready for release with the September issues of DX News and the DX Audio Service. Anyone interested in contributing ideas for the survey, please send them to me at the address at the beginning of your tape, or you can send them to this email address, amradiolog@nrcdxas.org. That's amradiolog@nrcdxas.org. Or you can record them on the Musings line and Fred will forward them to me. Please do this as soon as possible so we can start the survey. Now we have some information on the convention. Are you ready?
You want to get with it every minute. K-O-I-L. Everyone is invited and we're delighted. At 1290 in Omaha, there's the weather, late news and music, much more. Who could refuse it? You want to get with it every minute. K-O-I-L 1290 K-O-I-L.
Hi, this is Carl Mann, who along with Ernest Wislosky, co-hosted the 1992 and 1959 National Radio Club Conventions in Omaha. Together, we formed the Big O Team, and we're happy to announce details for the National Radio Club, DX Audio Service, and Worldwide Television and FM DX Association Convention for 2011. Again, it'll be in the Great Midwest, Omaha, Nebraska. Dates are October 13th, 14th, and 15th. That's starting Thursday at 3 p.m. through Friday and Saturday in Omaha. Be ready to write down some contact information at the end of this message. Convention headquarters will be the Comfort Inn & Suites at 7007 Grover Street in Omaha. You'll find them online at comfortinn.com/Nebraska if you'd like to take a look. They'll provide us with our own ballroom for those 3 days and facilities for the hospitality room, business meeting, and banquet. We'll give you more details on convention events in the coming weeks. Also, we'll provide information on Omaha attractions. Your Big O Team is made up of native Omahans, and we can guide you to Omaha's best sightseeing, shopping, and dining. So don't hesitate to bring the whole family. There's something for everybody, and ladies and families are encouraged to attend. We ask only that the business meeting remain a grown-ups only activity. The Comfort Inn is a 9-story high-rise hotel. Included with your room is a hot continental breakfast each morning, free shuttle service to and from the airport, indoor swimming pool, and round-the-clock services that include a fitness center, business center, and guest laundry. Also, 3 restaurants and a bar are available in the immediate vicinity of the Comfort Inn. The nightly hotel rate is $75. That's $88.62 with all taxes included. Up to 4 persons may share 1 room. The convention registration fee is $45, $13 for kids, and that's for all events, including the banquet. To register, send your registration fee, payable to the National Radio Club, to Ernest Wislosky. Wislosky is spelled W-E-S-O-L-O-W-S-K-I. The address, 13312 Westwood Lane. Westwood is 1 word. Omaha, Nebraska, 68144, 3543. For hotel registration, call the hotel at area code 402-934-4900 and ask for the NRC WTFDA convention rate of $75 plus tax. That's the only number to use. Disregard any other numbers on the website. 402-934-4900. It's the Big O Team, Ernie and Carl, just like it was in 1992. We look forward to seeing you here. I'll have more information for you next month. Until then, thanks for listening. And put Omaha in your planner for October 13th through the 15th, 2011.
And again, that's October 13th, 14th, and the 15th in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'd like to make another mention about, are you a member or are you a subscriber? You can really help by being a member. And I'll tell you one thing that you could do is maybe just give Ernie a call and ask if there's anything that you can do to help him out with the convention. Even if you're not going, it might be something as simple as, you know, maybe locating paper cups or things that he needs for the convention, putting together a program. Maybe if you work at an office, you can print something up for him that he needs. But it all goes real fast when you got a lot of people involved, even doing little things. Speaking as a former convention host, I can tell you that when you have other folks involved, it really goes well. If it's just one person trying to satisfy everyone that's attending the convention, it doesn't go as well. So you can support a club easily just by doing little bitty things. You don't have to do big tasks. Little things all add up. For example, here at the DX Audio Service, sending in air checks to Phil Wayne, maybe commenting to Mark Durenberger about something that you're curious about with reception, a tip to Dave about something that's going on one of your radio stations, a format change or something, or maybe sending me some articles out of your newspaper or recordings that you've made off the radio. All that little stuff adds up. You don't need to do a lot of big things, just little things, and that's what makes you a member, and it also makes a club real strong.
And now we need to either stand on our heads or flip the tape over to hear side two.
Now, the top local news from the station you trust. News Talk 750 WSB. Atlanta's news, weather, traffic, and Braves station. Depend on it. Depend on it.